The city of Boston shutting down this unit on Geneva Street. Inspectors say the commercial zoned garage was being used illegally as residential, a so-called crash pad for 19 flight attendants during their layovers.
So there you have it. This is how some of us actually live. Not me. I have my own dwelling. I don't do crash pads anymore. And it's been a very long time since I've done a crash pad. But that situation that you just heard in that news clip, I've never done a crash pad in that manner or style. But it seems to take place in a lot of major cities like Boston, where that story was out of. And Philly and New York City, like LaGuardia, JFK airports, probably San Francisco, LA, Chicago, maybe Dallas, Miami, what have you. Those cities, not so much Dallas, but the rest of the cities that I've named are very expensive. If you're based in Seattle, I'm sure that's expensive. So, yes. There are certain lifestyles that we as crew members, flight attendant or pilot, that are not the norm in society and not what you expect from the normal office worker, 9 to 5. Our lifestyles are different. When we go to work, our office is an airplane, and you could be gone anywhere from a day, 2 days, 3 to 4 days. And depending on what type of airline you work for, international or I can't remember the other ones, like World Airways and place ATA and things like that, they do contracts. I can't remember what it's called at the moment. They may be gone anywhere from 6 to 7 days. Then you have private jet flying. They could be gone 7 to 8 days. It's a different lifestyle. It's not just a job, career, it's a lifestyle. It really is. But I do know, I've heard about some of these crash pads. I had a friend that was based in New York City. LaGuardia was the airport. And they had a crash pad like that where maybe 20 people were in there. And there was maybe, the crash pad was in Queens somewhere in a house. And there were like 5 bedrooms or something. So like 4 or 5 beds to a room, which sounds really disgusting. I don't care whether it's like young adults like a hostel or adults living in that type of condition. Now, mind you, these people commute to, or they did commute to LaGuardia when we had that base. So they live somewhere else. But, you know, you have to get in the night before your trip starts. And you may end your trip very late where you can't fly out back home. You have to leave the next morning. So you'll be staying at the crash pad then. And, yeah, I don't. Sometimes, like, you pay for your bed and not your bed the whole month. And then I don't know if some places where it was shared. That sounds disgusting. I mean, some of these crash pads come with whatever you pay them a month, anywhere from $250 to $350, maybe $400 a month, come with like a cleaning service and a bed linen changing service and things like that. I also heard a lot of nightmares about people who live communally like that, but are very unaware of themselves and disrespectful to other people around them, like going to the bathroom and never flushing and things like that. Stuff is disgusting, but these are the stories that I've heard. Now, mind you, like I said, I've never lived in these conditions. I've had crash pads before, but it would be maybe me and another flight attendant, and we had a bedroom at an older couple's house that was nearby this small base that we used to be based at in somewhere in the South, is what I'll say. So when I had to commute from where I live to where I was based, I stayed in a room by myself with clean linens, a nice little elderly couple that we stayed with. They just really kind of wanted the company. They didn't really need the money. They were set really well. I stayed there with another flight attendant, and we were on opposite schedules. So that was fine, you know. But I've never stayed in these type of crash pads that they were talking about at the beginning of that news story. Those are, that's basically a youth hostel, or really an adult hostel for flight attendants. And that sounds awfully gross. I'm not the one. But yes, I've heard stories where, like the one in New York, where you had to sign up for the shower. The shower was timed on a schedule, and you couldn't just go in there. So you signed up for the 4 o'clock shower, and somebody else signed up for the 7 p.m. shower. That's, I don't know, as a working adult, I'm just like, that's crazy. But that's how these things work. I had a flight attendant get on my flight. I think I did grab her in LaGuardia and was taking her to Philly. She ran a business out of this whole crash pad thing. And she, I don't think I've ever seen this before, but she boarded my flight with like two big ass bags of toilet paper. You could see it because it was in a clear bags. So she had about, I don't know, 48 rolls with her and got on the airplane. And I was like, wow, you, I made a joke because she was wearing the airline lanyard. And I was like, yeah, wow, you need a lot of toilet paper, huh? She was like, oh, well, I'm going back to my crash pad. I run a crash pad in Philly and I got to like make sure everybody's taken care of and bring the supplies. I guess she caught a deal in New York or something, had to bring the toilet paper back to Philly. I don't know. But there is a business that crew members may run, or other people, gate agents or whoever may run, and run these crash pads, these adult flight crew hostels is what I'm going to call them. Flight crew hostels. That's what they are. They really are. Now, some of these flight crew hostels can be very specific. I've seen them advertised on bulletin boards in the crew rooms, and I'll explain to you what a crew room is in a minute. And they'll be very specific. They only want pilots there. They only want male pilots. They only want female pilots at this crash pad. Some of the crash pads, they only want females. It doesn't matter if you're a pilot or a flight attendant. It's all female crash pad and all these particulars and things like that. Like I said, some of them, when you pay your fee monthly, come with a cleaning service, a linen changing service. Some of them you can pay per night and things like that. So they're very interesting. I haven't walked inside one in a long time, and honestly, I don't want to. I'd be scared at this point to do that as a 40-something-year-old adult woman. They just sound horrific, just horrific. So I said I was going to explain to you what a crew room is if you don't know. I mean, I understand some crew members, flight attendants, pilots, whoever might be listening to this just for sheer entertainment. But there's a lot of people that are passengers, or they don't fly at all. They may take Amtrak or whatever, but they're interested, or they find aviation or flight crews interesting. So I'm going to give you some of the lingo. So crew rooms basically are, they're in the airport, particularly a hub for whatever airline, and it's a place cut off from the public where that's secured, where flight crews can go and rest and chill, maybe get coffee, sit down and have their lunch, look at a little TV and lounge out. Ours has a foosball table in it. We have a little quiet room in a corner somewhere where, is it really quiet? Because it's open to the rest of the crew room. And I've been over there standing by the quiet area and heard supervisors with big ass mouths, their big ass mouth, their voice just echoes into that quiet corner. But yes, it's a quiet corner. You're supposed to sit over there, chill. It's kind of dark, and just shut up and be quiet. Some people take naps over there. I don't know if they are really supposed to, but hey. There's also a room for the flight attendants that are on reserve, or specific reserve, called RAS. You have to be ready. Basically, I can't remember what the acronym stands for at the moment, but you have to be ready on call, ready on standby right there at the airport. There's a different type of reserve, another type of reserve, RSV or RRF, where you're on reserve, where you're on call, but you can be in your apartment or your crash pad or wherever you stay. It can't be more than like an hour away from your major airport hub. And you can lounge around and be there. And if schedule needs you to come out and work a flight, they have to give us at least an hour and 15 minutes for us to get there by the time they call us. So if they call me at 2:00, my report time has to be the minimum of 3:15. Okay? So you can be on reserve in that way, where you stay in your apartment, your crash pad or wherever, and you just wait for them to call you. Now, if you're on RAS, you have to actually be at the airport. And they'll call you for a certain shift to physically be available at the airport. But once you do that RAS shift and they don't use you, you can go home and you're done for the day. But that RAS, there's a room in the crew room for RAS flight attendants to kind of close the door, get away from everybody else that's eating, chit-chatting, and every other crazy thing that ensues. Loud conversations and things like that. And they can go in that room and do whatever. It's small. I've been in there. And I've seen some nasty stuff in there. Like, for example, nails. Press-on nails. Just flicked off the hands and thrown on the floor. It's like, you couldn't land that in the trash can? I don't know. I don't know what to say. These are adults, supposedly. And, oh, God, help us all. But anyway, so that's what a crew room is. Like I said, if we can get away from the public, it's secured. You can't come in there. But flight crew members, pilots, flight attendants, ours has a couple offices in there for the supervisors and the chief pilot and those people. And they're closed off in their office in the crew room, within the crew room. We can get coffee. We have a place, a couple of fridges to store our lunches. You will see a lot of flight crews walking around with black lunch bags of various sizes, and I mean various sizes. Some of them are carrying their own refrigerator to work, but a lot of it too is to save money, and a lot of times it's so we can eat better, because it can be kind of hard to access healthy food. Sometimes we get delayed and cut off and we can't get to the food, so that's why we carry food, just so you know, FYI. But back to the crash pad situation. Yes, they can be disgusting. I've heard about them. And like I said, they're basically flight crew youth hostels, basically. And I've heard of people getting kicked out of them for nasty behavior, not getting along with people, or being disgusting, and things like that. Thank God I haven't had to deal with that for more than a decade. But this is the lifestyle. This is commercial aviation for a segment of the workers, which would be the flight crews. That'd be us.
Completely illegal. Very dangerous. It's a death trap.
Officials say the fire department received an anonymous complaint yesterday. When inspectors arrived, they found 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and 20 bunk beds, a kitchen and bathroom built without permits, along with missing smoke detectors, no second exit, and flammable materials stored inside, like this container of gasoline.
Bad combination. You know, a warehouse for a contractor in the bottom, and 19 unsuspecting people living upstairs. If a fire ever went off, they'd never get out.
Officials say the flight attendants were paying about $300 a month and would stay a day or two at a time.
Actually, it was shocking because, like I said, I have lived here for 23 years, and I never thought that was illegally, and there were many people living there.
People who live nearby say they would see people coming and going, along with other concerning things.
In that garage, they store a lot of trash, and we see rats coming out of there, so it's danger, you know, those living with those kind of conditions.
So that it, you got a little inside scoop about crash pads from a regional flight attendant. Doesn't matter what aircraft you're on, crash pads are crash pads. People have to commute to get to work. It's hard out there for a pimp. Anyway, on to other news, other insight about this industry. So I follow on Instagram 2 guys on a plane, and their posts are pretty funny. They just put one up the other day, and it reads, FYI, Your flight attendant isn't getting paid until the aircraft doors close. So we are just as mad as you, if not more, about flight delays. So what they're referring to is that most airlines, if not all airlines, except for Delta, very soon, flight attendants do not get paid until the door is closed. And a lot of times that's the same for the pilots as well. That's just the agreements with our contracts that were made with airlines. And it's pretty much across the board. But as of late, there has been a change.
Flight attendants in America have complained about, well, two things. One, idiots who press the call button when they meant to turn on the lights. And two, the way they get paid. Well, now, finally, Delta Airlines is taking care of one of those issues.
Flight attendants with Delta will soon be getting paid a little bit more money. The airline says it'll now start paying cabin crews during boarding. Up until now, flight attendants did not start getting paid until the passengers were seated and the plane's doors closed. That was the moment that their pay started.
With Delta Airlines, their flight attendants have been campaigning and trying to join a union that I'm part of, which is AFA International. They were not unionized, or they are not unionized still at this time, but they're pulling to get there. So recently it's been in the news that Delta Airlines has agreed to pay their flight attendants when boarding actually starts, not when the door closes. So for example, if your flight leaves at 4 o'clock. That plane is going to begin boarding at 3:30. Those flight attendants are going to get paid at 3:30 when boarding commences, not at 4 o'clock when the door closes. So that's great because that sets an example. Delta is a major airline. It's in the top 5. That sets a precedence for the rest of the airlines because you know American's going to have to kick out. Delta's doing it. United's going to have to kick out. Delta's doing it. And so forth.
Hey guys, just real quick, if you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and shoot me an email.